Log Talk Radio.
Hump Day. Stop.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
welcome my friends, it's hump day, and Deborah muted herself.
It's because you're supposed to do the intro, remember?
Oh, I was, that's right, gosh darn it. How my memory is gone, the Alzheimer's got me. Well, it's hump day. I'm Jay Hatter, your host. I'm here with Deborah Lee. We're filling in for a night. We're going to read some overflow from the other night, some poems. Probably going to do about an hour. And since Deborah and I are still not 100%, so Deborah?
Hatter.
Oh, that was a song by Shout Even Shy. Bridget wrote the music and sings the song to a poem I wrote. And I just didn't have my intro down. We were supposed to have a better year this year, Deborah, and we started off on the wrong foot.
Well, as low as I felt, I guess there's nowhere to go but up or dead, right?
There you go. Yeah, I had was a California head cold, so I didn't have the virus. But Deborah got hit hard with it. Mine was must have been sympathy pain. I just knew you weren't feeling well, so I was going to get sick too.
Yeah. Don't have sympathy for me anymore when I'm sick. We can't both be sick.
I understand everybody's in a different mood when they're ill. I have the fortunate trait that my father had. My mom said any time that I would get sick, I got hungry. My dad did the same thing. So we were very rarely where we were sick for any given time because we did not feed a fever.
When I get sick, I get my mood from my mama. She was grumpy when she was sick too. As nice as you believe me to be as grumpy when I'm sick.
I was married for over 20-something years, so I know how that is.
Well, some people are awesome patients. Like, I mean, I'm AP, for example, all the stuff he goes through, he's always pleasant, even during it. Not me. If I don't feel good, I turn into mega bitch, and I try not to. I can't even stand myself. So your best bet is to just not talk to me at all so that I don't snap your head off because I'm just miserable. I don't know what happens, but when I'm sick, it's like a Jekyll Hyde thing.
I thought that was don't talk to you before a cup of coffee in the morning.
Well, when I'm sick, I can't drink coffee, so it does apply.
Oh. Well, that's not good.
And during... I was going to say, during the most of that, it was either water or ginger ale. I didn't have much of anything else.
Yeah, and soda crackers and ginger ale.
I don't usually drink soda ever, but when I'm really sick, my body wants ginger ale for some reason.
No, I'm the same way. It just doesn't have your ginger ale, but and you know why? It's that ginger in it. That's what they used to give you for upset stomachs.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I never drink soda. I haven't drank soda in years.
I got homemade soup and comfort food.
That's because you got joy.
Because I got joy. Yeah. Yeah, she keeps saying, what would you do without me? You know what? I don't have an answer for her. I don't know what I would do without her.
Don't want to either, huh?
No, I don't. Not right now. No. I forgot what I was going to say. I don't know. She's the type that needs to take care of somebody. You want to, I was trying to look up something here, but no big deal. See if it's still there. Yeah, here it is.
When you went to say something to my grandma and then you said, oh man, I forgot what it was, she would say, must have been a lie.
Whoa, really?
Really?
Or an exaggeration of today. Today, Wednesday, January 19th of the year of our Lord, 2022. It's World Cork Day and National Popcorn Day. Wow.
What was the first thing? Cork?
Cork Day. Cork is a...
Cork?
It's a quantum physics thing. It's a miniature... not a miniature, but it's a microscopic... bit of puts us all together.
Oh, okay. I thought you said C-O-R-K.
No, quark, as in Q-U-A-R-K. And I'm guessing
that. I remember
that.
Reading that when AP did Q. Or did we do Q? I don't even know if we did the Q. It's been such a long time.
Da-da-da. I can look it up tomorrow. I always give you today's. When you look at, we look at it tonight, the day's already gone. Should be looking at tomorrow. And they've changed the menu on this site. So I don't know where that is.
Well, it's also only 9, usually, when we're on. The date's changing, but we still have a few hours left of the 19th.
Yeah, it's just now getting dark in California. So about 6 o'clock, it's dark.
Yeah, we're prepping for a storm. Just waiting. It might start out rain and then snow for hours until rush hour. Or we might just get the rain and it might go a little bit west of us. So I'm hoping it just passes by.
You get a lot of traffic at that time in front of you?
I don't, but a lot of people are on the roads at rush hour, and people hurrying to work aren't always the most careful of drivers.
Oh, here we go. Go ahead.
Stuff happens.
I'm looking at tomorrow, January 20th, which will be Thursday, 20th, 2022. National Cheese Lovers Day, Customers Day, National Butterscotch, Butter Crunch Day, and National Disc Jockey Day. So, hug a DJ.
I love cheese.
Yeah, I was a DJ for a while. I did some DJing.
Oh, yeah?
With the guy.
Didn't know
that. It was a nightclub DJ. It was fun.
Well, you know what, Hatter? I think I'm going to grab Angel's poem and read it for her.
Yep,
so you
do that.
And I can comment. That's all right.
Sounds good.
And then we'll do the 2 recordings, and there'll be also another poem. I think it's Lee's poem, but I'm putting Angels on the board. Okay, and like I said, I'll read for her. So do you see it, Heather?
Okay, running down the hall as you speak.
Take your time.
Yeah, last night I had to use the app. It made me use the app to get to the site. What's up with that?
Well, last night it was weird.
The night before last.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because last night there was a weird episode, and I had to reload one for Raconteur, but I didn't know that you had a problem on Monday. I just thought you were running a little late. Anyway, do you see it yet?
It's letting me in. Give me 15 more seconds.
Okay.
I've made a decision to get the internet. See, now
no
look,
problem.
I'm hung up. Hold on.
While you're looking, I'll just mention that she's entered this poem in 3 contests and won an award in all 3 of the contests that she entered. That's really cool.
Oh, boy.
She often brings her poetry for the show that she enters in contests and well, and almost always wins something when she brings them as well. But 3 already. Congrats, Angel.
Yeah, I don't enter enough contests. I can't remember the last time I did.
Sometimes
okay.
When I need inspiration, I go and thumb through the contests and write. And like I wrote for Sweet's contest for her show tomorrow, speaking of which, that's an important show. I'm sure everybody who pays any attention to the news saw the Marshall fire in Boulder County, Colorado. 6,000 acres burned and 30,000 people had to evacuate. There's aerial shots of neighborhoods that are now like this ash blueprint of what used to be. And a lot of the resilient people that stepped up to help each other and the heroes that stepped up, it should be a very powerful show. And again, that's with Sweet Pea tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern. And not to be missed.
Sure.
So, sure. You got it, huh?
Yep, I'm looking at it. The lighthouse.
Cool, okay. This poem is called The Lighthouse by Heavenly Angel. Here we go. Our lives, like the ocean, some days turbulent and unpredictable, emotions building up and crashing like the waves, beating down our spirit. But that lighthouse, like our friendship and love, remains steadfast and strong against all elements, never to crumble or waver, but always faithful, illuminating the darkest of nights. In the quiet stillness, you are eloquent, as your sweetest words walk in my mind to the music all their own. You have become my purpose, my way, my lighthouse in life's storms. Scarlet and midnight blue among the jungles of twilight, fingers of celestial refrained clouds, choruses of color, the watercolor of which you paint. Rising the sun within the opening of my dreams, stretching far across the sea, a reminder of the golden threads that forever bind the heart and soul of you and I. And poem.
I can see. Gorgeous. I can see why won so many goals. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It total different world. They didn't. They couldn't stop by and use the payphone to call home. They couldn't let the people, their friends, family. They were okay. And they still use the lighthouses quite a bit. You know, they're just a little more modernized. I think one of the biggest tragic stories I'd ever heard was when the lighthouse had crumbled or was no longer working. I can't remember exactly how it came about, but it was on some, man, my memory. Anyway, it was like during the storm and without it, there were several weeks before they got it back, and there were several wrecks up on the rocks and tragic. I couldn't fathom being out on the ocean during a storm when pitch black, being tossed around, no electricity. I think they were nuts. If it was left up to me, would I never found the free world, huh? great metaphors and a very... It's very, very soft, but very strong in meaning. You have become my purpose, my way, my lighthouse in life's storm. So she says it in such a reflection of life, too.
Yeah, I really like that she compared lighthouses with friendship and with, you know, love.
Yeah.
Because you get the same... sense of security, sense of safety, that light in the storm type of thing in both cases. That, I think she did a really great job, and I agree with you. It's easy to see why it won so many awards already.
Yeah, she's a true poet. That's what she's doing. See, this is what I always used to love, trying to get in poets' heads of how do you, what's your process? How do you go about framing up a stanza, especially if it's rhyming? Just, how do you go about it? Because I think everybody probably has their own little system. I know mine's changed. It used to be exhausting for me, the process. But now I learned how to cut those edges down and minimize the stress and the time. I don't spend so much time writing them. But I've always wondered how other people go about it. And their answer to me is, I just write it. Okay, thank you.
Well, sometimes you sit there and you look at something or read something and you're instantly inspired and it just happens. And sometimes you got to work at it a little. And then you had said that the way you approach it changes. Well, really, how could it not after all the years of nightly radio and writing on a daily basis and learning from one another? How could any of us not truthfully say that our writing has totally changed from being here? And in every case that I can think of, turned us into even better poets by being able to hang out with each other.
I agree. You know? Every night I'm adding to lists. They're so good.
Yeah.
And not just one area or one stanza or something they point out. It's usually the whole thing, the whole structure. Got to have a beginning, got to have an ending, and you got to have a subject. You got to have at least one stanza in the middle. It's got to fit. I think what is happening too is people don't get so repetitious when they're saying the same thing just in different words. They're not progressing through the storyline of the verse. I think free is a little easier to keep that, to fall into that. Of course, rhyming, you always try to cut your corners, because the more longer you go, the more you're going to write something that's forced, tripped, or makes somebody trip. I mean, I'm talking about my own thought process of keep them down to 3, 4, 5 at the most stanzas. I think it this way: if you put a 19 verse freestyle up there, 2 pages long, are you going to read my 3 stanza poem? You're going to read mine. So my thought was, how do I want my stuff read more? Learn how to do the brevity.
Well, you know, I think the hardest part for a lot of people is that they forget that they don't need to sit down and write their thesis. It's a poem. It's supposed to be a snippet of a feeling or emotion or just something to make people pause or whatever. You know, it doesn't have to. You want to write a story, that's fantastic too. But you can, the more you can say with the fewer the words, the more impressive it seems to be. I think it's sort of us.
It does.
I think us poets have a short attention span sometimes, and we like to get the impact of the poem and then give me more, give me more. I don't know. 'Cause I think it depends, too, on the reader. Because if you get to hear somebody read and they're a good reader and you're into their voice, you don't even realize the length.
That's it, too. Oh, you're right.
I love when you say that.
I remember a contest that we judged. I think it was one that I did myself, but it was during the time when we were doing every Saturday morning we were getting together. It was for Rooster Cogburn, and we had read the verse. It didn't meddle. Wasn't in the top 3. I don't think I had it in the top 5. But when Rooster called in and read
it, exactly what you're going to say next too.
Yeah. And when he came on and read it, I missed it. I missed it all. It was such a good piece. It should have won gold. It was better than anything in that contest. I don't know how I didn't see any of that until he came on and read it himself. It was strong enough to where I went to him and I apologized. I told him this was, I don't know how, what happened. You should have gotten gold. I apologized to him and told him, I don't know how I oversight. So you get a little complacent reading other people's stuff. But when you hear the poet who wrote it emphasize and use their own words, it's so much stronger.
I really remember that, Hutter, because you came right out on live radio and said it to him right there on the show.
I did.
It's so much. Yeah, you did it right on the show. You said that, He just didn't realize how spectacular it was until he read it. And it does. It makes a really big difference to hear the poet read their own words. And that's a...
The reason I did it stuck with you. It was so obvious. It was so obvious that it was the best... Right. It was the best by far. And I had to acknowledge it right then. I was most embarrassed. It made me question who am I to be judging anybody's work.
Oh, so I did miss it.
Not
all the time, but you know, and it sticks with you because that was a different radio team that we worked for at the time. And even all these years later, that incident sticks with you. That's proof positive that it's always, always, always better when read by the poet.
Wonder if I could find that. You know, it was so good. Maybe look at our positions. Yeah, maybe look at our positions or our role in all this.
We're already used up half the show. You want to click on Phil and I'll push his recording?
Okay. Is this Phil the Poet?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Are you there?
Not quite yet.
Okay.
Okay. I have washed my eyes today. I want to go in. Okay, here I am. Come on. And there it is, and I'm looking at, yep, I've got it, pen and point. Pen and...
Yes, it is. Okay, and here we go.
Yep.
I will push play.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Penmon Point. A beam of light cuts across the Irish Sea, coming from the coast of Anglesey, warns a barge of dangerous rocks ahead, saving them from visiting the seabed. In the past, ships would take their chance to sail the crashing waves trying to advance, but being beaten to a pulp along the shore, sailors never to walk upon the earth no more. Many a shipwreck were stranded upon those rocks, mostly barges from the nearby Liverpool docks. Many a widow did mourn at the funeral pyre. Finally, the master shipmen began to inquire. Rothsay Castle was the last steamer to run aground. Every day trip of the North Welsh coast it was bound. The vessel let in water while the captain got drunk, hit those jagged rocks, 130 lives were sunk. The sea vomited up the bodies along the beach. The worried families told about the deceased. The people pressed for a lighthouse to be built, for the safety of future generations not to feel this guilt. Now tourists come to visit the lighthouse, standing on Penmon Point as quiet as a mouse. The light has faded, just the gateway to the past, while young ears listen to history they cannot grasp. End poem.
Tragic. And it says, Pen and Point or Trine Dhu Lighthouse. The first lighthouse was erected in 1838 at the price of £11,589. There'd been a call for lighthouse dislocation for some years by master shipmen in the nearby city of Liverpool, especially after the steamer of Rothsay Castle ran aground and broke up on nearby Leven Sands in 1831. 130 people lost their lives. Rothsay Castle, around midday on 17 August 1831, she left Liverpool carrying 150 passengers. She had been intended to leave at 10 a.m., but was delayed by the weather and the late arrival of the passenger. On leaving the Mersey estuary, she encountered a strong north by northwest wind and a rough sea. One of the passengers went to see the captain Atkinson, to ask him to return to the port, but he found Atkinson drunk and unwilling to consider turning back. By 10 p.m., the ship had still only reached the Great Orme, and the ship was found to have 2 feet of water in the stockhold. The pumps were found not to work, and there was not even a bucket available for bailing, and the single lifeboat shipboard had a hole in the bottom and had no oars. At around 1 a.m. on the 18th of August, the Rock Island Castle ran aground on Dutchman Bank, and after a while broke up, the captain and the two mates being swept to their deaths when the funnel collapsed. 23 passengers were rescued in the morning. Bodies were washed up over a wide area of Anglesey and Welsh mainland. Now, is that the song that Gary and the Playboys sing? Crossing the Mercy. I think it was
Mary?
The song Gary and the Playmakers.
Mary.
I think Gary and the Playmakers or something Cross the Mercy. Something Cross the Mercy. That might have been more modern day than 1830, but it just sounds right, because it says, on the leaving the Mercy estuary. I know, it's a great song. Okay.
I am trying to look at their song list, but I don't see. It says Gary Lewis. That says Playboys. You said Playmakers, right? Header. Commuted.
Yeah, it's Ferry Cross the Mercy is the song by Gary and the Pacemaker.
Okay.
And I think the tragedy happened again a second time in more modern day.
Well, a good question. Ferry Cross the Mercy. I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
1965 was the song.
Yeah. And then we read the history of the song once. And I believe it was there's a second tragedy at the same place at the Mercy, crossing the Mercy.
Oh, I'm sure. Every body of water has a rich history of shipwrecks and disasters and lost treasures and whatnot. So there's no way that any lighthouse only has one tragic story that surrounds it, you know. But I think that Bill did a really amazing job with this, bringing in the details and teaching through the poem. And I love that he And a lot of the poets did on this topic, dug into the specific history rather than just writing for the colors or the visuals of the photo prompt. They dug in deep and found information, and something struck a key with each one, a chord with each one, and they ran with it. And I learned a lot about quite a few lighthouses. And it's always a pleasure to get to listen to Phil Reed. I like the way he pronounces his words. Great share, Phil.
Yeah, maybe if Phil's listening, he could update us. Is it about the tragedy in 1831 that repeated itself somewhere in the 20th century, or if I remember right, close. Anyway, yeah, that tragic event is like our Titanic or any of the other tragedies we had in England and Ireland.
It says taking a Mersey ferry to work offers a relaxed, healthy way to travel and is the most direct route between Woodside and Liverpool city center.
Oh, Liverpool. So it's the same area. Yeah, and it was a ferry. Ferrying people back and forth or something. It was overloaded. They had to use a school or some kind of gymnasium as a morgue. There were so many people.
Huh. It says Mersey refers to the River Mersey in northwest England, a river that flows into the Irish Sea at Liverpool. The song is often misspelled as Ferry Cross the Mersey, but according to the song's lyric, the track is correctly titled Ferry Cross the Mersey. So it's just an incorrect spelling. It's not Mersey, let me get better, Mersey, Mersey. It's M-E-R-S-E-Y. But like I said, really fascinating.
Yeah, cool. Well, let's truck on.
Oh, this is interesting. Mersey, the word, the name, is derived from the Anglo-Saxon language and translates as boundary river. M-E-R-S-E-Y translates to boundary river. So that's pretty cool. Okay, let me see here. We have Gerald's recording, and we have a poem by Lee. It's nice to see Lee back. He's been away for a long time. Message him every now and then. But I've seen him on the board a couple of times now, and I think that's awesome. All right, let me. Do you think that you can read for Lee?
I think so. No big words.
Okay, get his.
Oh, I got it.
He's going to put it on the board now.
Yeah, I have to. I can't believe it. I have to use the app to get to All Poetry now. No big deal. Okay, let's go back. Okay, the lighthouse, pen and point, and, you do have it posted?
Yeah, if you don't see it, just refresh.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. All right. So my Rams, my Cinderella team, well, not Cinderella, when they took the division, I guess, but that's my team.
Yeah, well, I told you to keep your eye on Andy Reid and his Chiefs.
Yeah. Okay, I got still stands his post.
Okay.
Oh, I'm reading it. That's right. Okay. Still stands his post, goes like this. In Groton stands New London's ledge, where shines a steady light, and Ernie's ghost fulfills his pledge to guide the ships at night. A keeper faithful more than most, though not so much his wife. He sadly ceased to man his post, but upon the rocks he took his life. His spirit now in earnest keeps the light, alerting those who venture near. Though for his wife no longer weeps, his devotion saved for hapless ships he steers. The soothing light the structure sends with mansard roof and granite pier from its perch near the mighty Thames will ever guide all those who venture near. It is the stately New London's ledge, Lighthouse, Groton, Connecticut, with legends of a keeper's ghost that still stands his post. Oh, interesting. And is that the lighthouse? Wow.
Right.
Look at the concrete. Damn.
Yeah. It's amazing, huh? It's in Connecticut.
It
Park
is.
In Connecticut. Yeah.
They had to build the oil wells look like that. Nobody would complain about it.
It's a stunning photo. And he did a
it
great
is.
Read for me. I figured you could jump right into his line, rhyme pattern and flow, and you did. I like the haunting feel that he put here.
Yeah.
Although
they say that those harbor houses that usually line the harbor where the sailors and merchants lived always had a attic room, which is the tallest of their house, and that's where the wife would sit and wait for the husband to come home, their loved ones to come home. I forget what it's called, but it's very common. I think there were also ribbons or something that was hung on those windows or those rooms when somebody didn't come home. So even in architecture, it was all about the sea. I think I'd have been a carpenter, not a sailor.
Faithful more than most, though not so
yeah.
much as wife. He sadly
great rhyming. Yeah, great rhyming.
When upon the rocks he took his life. I don't know, ma'am. His wife got on his nerves, so he jumped off the rocks. I think I'm probably not supposed to be giggling. Okay, I am supposed to be. Okay, I was like, wait a minute, why am I? He meant it in humor. Humor, death, and rhyme is what he put at the bottom. I mean, you got to think about that. His wife drove him so nuts that he stopped manning his post and went out on the rocks and off he was.
Wow.
Yeah, I think he did took a really clever approach on this.
Yeah.
Again, I'll say I'm really glad you're back, Lee, and I'm hoping that you'll be able to call. I know he sent some recordings and stuff too, but he's been missed. Really, really, really.
Yeah,
glad
he's got
he's back.
He's got the ability to rhyme. So he's a talented poet. He's got a deep well he can pull his words and thoughts out of. Yeah, good job, Lee. And yeah. Okay. Hey. Okay. We're down to Gerald Green's.
Yep, we have a recording for Gerald, and that's the last one for the makeups from my show on Monday. And just one last time, I would like to tell Angel and Phil and Lee and Gerald that I apologize for having to hold them over to a new night, but appreciate them nonetheless. Amazing shares.
Well, they certainly get talked about more than the rush we are sometimes at.
That's very true. I'm always trying to squeeze so many poems in that we did get to spend more time talking about them, which is nice sometimes, you know. Okay,
it is.
Now
it is.
You go ahead and click on Gerald. I'll push
I got
play.
It. Push play. Okay. I got it.
All right, here we go.
Bass Harbor, Island Living, written in red by Gerald Green. Though waves be high upon the sea, they bring no threat to you or me. Our little island made of rock can't frighten old New England stock. Bass Harbor Lighthouse sends its light that reaches out to us each night, its beam reminding where we are, remote perhaps, but not too far. We come ashore at winter's end to visit relatives and spend our funds for much-needed supplies enjoying life with warmer skies. In summer, people visit us without a protocol or fuss. Just tie your boat up to our dock and feel the safety of our rock. The lighthouse keeper calls each day to chat about the news and say what's on his mind or just relax in ways reserved for maniacs. End poem.
Maniacs. You know, for us, poetry.
I love the end.
Yeah. Lighthouse keeper calls each day. Chat about the news and say, it's on his mind just to relax in ways reserved for maniacs. Yeah, when he mentioned New England stock, when you grew up in a fishing village or near a fishing village, that's all you knew. I mean, that's not all you knew, but that's usually what sailors bred more sailors, sons and. That lighthouse up on that ledge, that's what, that's Maine, huh? Look at that rocks. Yeah.
Right.
I remember, I was writing, Godless Sea, I think it was the one, this was years ago. There was a lady that contacted me and asked if she could, used my poem. Apparently a rescue boat had just saved her son's life in the North Sea or North Atlantic or somewhere up there, and she was going to bake him some cookies and wanted to with him. And I said, well, give me a day. And I wrote her another one, and I said, you can have this one. And I thought I had saved it. Maybe it's in one of my other computers. I don't know, but I forgot her name. I forgot the poem. But anyway, she gets supposedly hanging in the house, the Coast Guard house or whatever they call it, or the rescue squads. Saved a life. I thought that was most moving. Good to know. I respect the sea and the ocean. I respect it so much. I will visit it at National Geographic or channel on the TV. I do not need to be lowered in the food chain, for one. And I don't know. I think it's because when I was a kid, we were down in the San Francisco area. I think that's where my respect for it was you don't have to be too far from it during the storm to realize what an angry sea is, how powerful that is. Just the respect for it. I think you can tell by the people that have lived and know that life a little more in their rights. I think we and of course Phil knew the Mercy, the ferry across the Mercy. Always helps. All of a sudden I'm just feeling weak. Just came over me. Oh.
Weak?
You take a deep breath and all of a sudden you just feel weak. Yeah, mine was just a head cold, but I tell you what, I cough so damn much.
People don't ever realize how much coughing takes out of you until you've been doing it for a while, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But let me comment on Gerald.
Yeah.
I really like where he took this, and I like how no matter what approach he takes, there's always something just a little bit unexpected, and even if it's just to play on, like if you're just getting to hear it and you hear him say what's on his mind or just relax in ways reserved for maniacs, what people don't get to see is that he, it's not Maniacs, M-A-N-I-A-C-S, it's capital M-A-I-N-E dash I-A-C-S. And that I wonder, do people in Maine call themselves maniacs? So that's a good question, I wonder. You think?
Yeah.
Well, he leaves me with something to think about there and something to investigate, because now I think that that would be really, really cool. And if I was from Maine, yeah, I'd call myself a maniac. So now I want to know if they really call themselves that up there. But brilliant share, as always, Gerald. And appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm wondering if I could read one of mine. We got 9 minutes before the hour. Look up the Godless Sea. I don't think I've ever shared this one. I'll put it in the room anyway. And it goes like this. Godless Sea. I wish the winds to lift your sails to port you might return. A bottled note to tell the tale to who it may concern. Sirens I prayed would not hear, you would not hear their cries as you sailed alone. I prayed only deafened ears while trying to sail back home. Spy the lights from haunted tower, a painted shadowed shore. Sail around the pale green showers, course to land evermore. Blindly run atop the rocks, listing port against the breeze. Ends my nightly dreams of mare at the bottom of a godless sea. That's it.
Sorry, I would have responded quicker, but I was in the appointment.
That's all right.
Trying to fight some calm in there.
If I go back in the comments on the, there's three pieces about the sea back then, I bet I could find that lady's name. But I don't think it's this one. Well, hopefully by next week, this time, we can be completely over this.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? I feel like it just doesn't want to let go. It's holding on and holding. I mean, I started to get worried, but like I said, I looked it up and it said that that's what it does. It just lingers, and one thing will get better, and the next thing it's like a little roulette wheel, and it plays with you for weeks. But like I said, I was so bad that right now I would feel wonderful. And not really, but you know what I mean. It's a little bit scary. I mean, I have asthma, so I'm used to having issues. But this is not grab your inhaler and you can breathe again. This is gasping for air because COVID's messing with you. So, and I know that many, many people got it worse than me, and I can't even. I mean, I already had sympathy for all the people who suffered so immensely when all this first started, and respirators and people dying. And I was so sick, I kept thinking, God help me if this was not the easy way, because if it was any worse, I don't think I could have survived. It was that bad, and made me feel even sorrier for those who suffered through it already and or passed away from it. What a horrible, drawn out, painful way to go. So everybody, take care of yourselves out there.
Yeah, it's for real. You know, keep the hygiene, the cleansing. You know, wash your hands. Do what you're supposed to do.
Right, because I ain't playing politics one way or another. I don't care who you vote for, what you look like. I know if you get this, it's no fun, and I don't wish it on anybody.
Yeah, and who wants to be the typhoid Mary, you know, just spreading it around because you've got an attitude about something? because you don't know. We don't know what works, what doesn't. We don't. So just in all precautions, just do it so we can get rid of this. Because this takes one.
Absolutely. It's not that hard to wash your hands. And I mean, I would rather people see my face when I smile at them, but I'm going to keep my mask because the one time I didn't, one time in almost 2 years, no mask, and I paid for it. And my kids had tested 2 days before on Christmas Eve, and their tests were negative, and then they weren't. Anyway, I don't want to do woe is me. I just want to remind everyone that Sweet's doing a very important topic tomorrow, the Colorado Fire. Check out her topic board. I'll post information on the board in a moment. That's at 10 p.m. Eastern. And Saturday, I don't know if anything's happening on Friday, so stay tuned. But on Saturday, it'll be the first Saturday with me, Hatter, and AP in a couple of weeks. And the topic that night is the word turkey.
Turkey.
Yep, turkey. Turkey. That's the word you chose, I believe, Hatter. So I hope to see everyone there. And then my personal prompt Monday show is called Ladies in Red. And I have some really, really cool quotes to inspire your muse to choose from. And I have a word bank. And I have just photos of women in red. Tell me your story. And on that note, I want to mention that about 2 minutes ago, they went live over at A Poetic Slice of Life. And they are doing a word that means gray, foggy winter. Kay does a series where she finds these crazy words that you never heard of, tells you the definitions, and then you be inspired by those. So that should be an interesting show. And then tomorrow at noon, there's a pop-up open poetry show at Il Nostro Regno with JCA. Check that out. And again, don't forget to join Sweet Pea. And I'm going to shut my mouth, tell you all love and respect, and let Hatter say what he wants to say before we go.
Oh, you pretty much said it all. Thanks to everybody that wrote, and we sorry about having to hold it over till tonight. But life is such that time is not always our friend. I got nothing else.
All right. Well, did you want to hear a song?
Yeah. Let's play. You know that the song with George Michael and Elton John? That was pretty good.
Don't Let the Sun Go Down on.
Yeah.
Like you said, this is George Michael singing an Elton John song. And during that song, while he's singing live on stage, surprise, lo and behold, the audience discovers that none other than Elton John is there as well. And he joins in the song. And I think that they do a beautiful job singing it together. And so I am looking it up because I don't know whether I put it under Elton. Or there it is. Okay. So Elton, sung by George Michael, Don't Let the Sun Go Down. Thanks, Hatter. Love and respect, everyone.
Thank you.
can still be for me.
Night, Deb. Get some rest.
You too.
Okay.
Love and respect, everyone.